We're going to continue in our study of the prophetic update that we do. And this is a time when we compare the events of this last year to what the Bible says will be true of end time events. Again, this is not to set a date or to say this is that, but rather to show you how things are in a way that could move quickly to what the Bible describes as the end times. And so I hope that this will have some effects on us that are meaningful. I hope that this will cause us to have a sense of expectancy and also will have a sense of alertness to the times. Well, we've been describing, one of the things that describes the end times is that there'll be a one-world government and a one-world economy. There will also be a one-world religion, all of this under this coming figure called the Antichrist. And so let's talk about this coming one-world religion. The world religion, as we read earlier, will be the worship of the Antichrist himself. The tribulation begins with a peace treaty that he signs that allows worship to continue on or to begin there in the temple, on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. At the midpoint of the tribulation, he will take over the world's religion to worship himself. But there will be this unifying religion. And so what do we see of seeking to use religion as a tool of world unity? There are a number of points we can point to. One of the things that strikes me in this category is our brethren in China, communist China. They're under increasing pressure. They've gone through these cycles, you know, for a while being persecuted and banned and banished, and then freedoms granted, and establishing even a government-sponsored church, the Three Self Movement. Many believers in China chose not to unite with that church. If you joined that church, you would have a Bible, but you would register. And they were concerned, if we register now, what will happen then if things change? I remember reading of a lady who was in China through, her parents were faithful communists, and described some of the changes they went through. For a while, the communist government realized that if you want to get ahead in the world, you need to speak English. And so they were really pushing English and rewarding people for learning English and teaching English. And so she described how one of her teachers faithfully studied English, became a teacher, and then things the climate changed again. And now all of a sudden, well, if you learned English, you must be a Westerner. And so that became a sign of treason. And so the very government that had encouraged something now was punishing it. And so the believers realize they may open up and have a state sponsored church, but what might happen if we get on those rolls? And so an underground church that is much larger than the state church is spread throughout China. Well, what's happening in China now? The Chinese churches, we're told, must support communist leaders and government's new law says. And so what that's referring in particular, especially, is to the state sponsored churches. New regulations went into effect in China this month, this is in February, that require churches and other religious organizations to support the leadership of the Communist Party and to adhere to communist teachings, to the government's teachings. Further, all churches and religious organizations must be examined and approved before they can legally worship. And so these new regulations are called the Administrative Measures for Religious Groups. So here we see the government has to approve religious groups, and those religious groups have to teach approved doctrine. So in other words, instead of saying, in our country, our First Amendment it speaks of our religious freedom, knowing that that's foundational to a society, our Constitution says we have the freedom to meet, we have the freedom to worship, we have the freedom to, with great tolerance, that's being suppressed in a place like China, where the government says your religious organization can meet, but it must support government purposes and support government teaching. And I showed last time, posters last year of where churches are being forced to put up government mottos on the walls and take down things like the Ten Commandments. Point number two there, China orders Christians to take down crosses and images of Jesus and worship communist leaders, not God. China's president, Xi Jinping, is behind a lot of this. Amid the coronavirus outbreak, poor Christian villagers in China have been ordered to renounce their faith and replace displays of Jesus with portraits of Chairman Mao and President Xi Jinping, or risk losing their welfare benefits. And so here comes in this pressure again. Okay, churches are gathered. That's fine. But don't worship Jesus. So again, we see the Chinese government basically co-opting, taking over for their own purposes, religious groups, and making them serve the government's purposes. Number three, Chinese churches are ordered to praise socialism. This was in August. State-approved churches in China, those state churches I was mentioning, that were forced to close due to the pandemic, are being allowed to reopen only if they use their sermons for patriotic education and to support the Communist Party, according to a new report. In one region of China, pastors even were required to slander the United States. And so here we see a struggle. These were churches that said, the church, we're being allowed freedom to have Christian churches. Great, we'll do that. Now, even then, pastors and sermons had to be approved, and even from the beginning, doctrines like the second coming of Christ were off limits. But now we see a growing trend where the church is supposed to just basically teach communism. It's basically supposed to teach the government's purposes. And so that's how it will be in the end times, where religion will be great, but then the mandate will come down. Your religion, it's glad you we worship, but the message you're to bring is the message of the government. And so that's a picture of what the end times are going to be like across the world. Number four there, Chinese Communist Party orders teachers to establish Marxist religious view and promote atheism. So churches are being required, does that seem ironic, to promote and teach atheism. Chinese Communist Party officials have ordered primary school teachers to sign a form requiring them to teach a Marxist religious view, strengthen atheism education, and actively promote socialism, according to a persecution watchdog. So there's this growing pressure where you have to, even teachers, you are being forced to teach the orthodoxy of the government. Now, increasingly, we see some of those things happening in our society, and we'll see some of that even in the pressures towards that going on. But again, this idea that religion will serve the purpose of the unified government. Pro-abortion. Now, here's one example of that, or one show of how religion is going to be changing. A pro-abortion Democrat ends the congressional prayer with amen and a woman. Did you see that? That's been all over the internet, where a congressman got up and gave a prayer, and at the end of it, he ended it with the blessing, amen and a woman. A lot of people said he doesn't even understand what amen means. It was kind of an embarrassment to his ignorance, but it said something. And if you, the whole closing prayer was where he mentioned to the one God and named some other things. It was just a lot of bizarre gobbledygook, but it just kind of shows you this pressure for an inclusive religion. But the problem is, as soon as you say an inclusive religion, you are excluding Jesus, who said there's only one way. And so, it's fine for people to get along, but if it's at the cost of truth, we can't go there. And that's where Jesus got into trouble. He didn't go along with the religion that was being imposed. He taught the truth. He is the truth. And so if we're going to be faithful to him, we need to know how to say, no to such commands. We need to pray for our brethren. I think our freedoms are slipping, but we need to have the courage and the freedom to discern and stand. And we need to pray for our brethren who are in much more difficult circumstances. Pray for our brethren in places like China. Well, speaking of standing, here is a 5,000 clergy. We're at the World Christian Leadership Conference. Doesn't that sound excellent? A World Christian Leadership Conference. And Dr. Hak Ja Min, Man, Jak Han Moon, excuse me, Hak Ja Han Moon, Sun Myung Moon's wife, widow, was the leader of this. She is Mother Moon. And so she sponsored, you know, they were all about the unification church. It's all about the world and the churches of the world are to unite under Father and Mother Moon. He's passed away, and so she is now the leader, but looking for a world unity. What's struggling is this is a poster, and these are Christian religious leaders up there that are some of the speakers and spoke well of the purposes of this meeting. I'll go ahead and one of the ones that was striking to me is this lady right here. You may have heard of her, Paula White. She has been one of the more well-known spiritual advisors to President Trump. And here she is at the one of the speakers at this ecumenical group that's sponsored by and in under the purposes of Sun Myung Moon's system. That's, you know, so that's troubling, and I have a hard time imagining any believer with any background would not be aware of the problem of the unification church and realize that it's a cult. Sun Myung Moon said that that Christ failed in his first coming. He failed because he was crucified. That was not the plan. And so Sun Myung Moon came to finish what Christ failed to do. I would think anyone who is a Christian would know we have no place in that. But what they do is and one of the things they really encourage churches to do is get rid of the cross. It's a symbol of failure. And so they you'll see these some of these church leaders will come out of this and they'll say, well, let's get rid of those crosses. And they'll take up this. Well, part of, I'm sure, the pressure is, you're treated first class and all these sorts of things. I don't know what motivates these, but it's very troubling. But you see, religious leaders, church leaders, who will go along with things that clearly should not. And again, this is all about a big ecumenical gathering, World Christian Leadership Conference. Okay, so here let's talk about Babylon. The Bible talks about a restored and revived Babylon. Again, in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, talk about it quite a bit. Let me just read verses 1 and 5 of chapter 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Skipping down to verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon of the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. So this coming rise of Babylon, a restored Babylon, is apparently what the Bible is teaching. Many have thought this is kind of spiritual. It refers to a spiritual Babylon. I think it's referring to Babylon will rise again. And just as Israel rose again, Babylon will rise. And so what do we see about that in the news? In the past, I've shown you where that was an objective of Saddam Hussein. And so one of the things he did is he was doing massive investments to rebuild the city of Babylon to restore the glory of Nebuchadnezzar. And he would put up posters of his profile next to Nebuchadnezzar's. You know, as he's going to finish what he's going to do what Nebuchadnezzar did as a great world leader. It didn't work out as well for Saddam Hussein as he had hoped, but that ambition of restoring the glory of Babylon has been there. And so just to, I just really have one thing I can point to at this point that's kind of current. With Iraq trip coming, the Pope Francis makes an appeal for peace in the Middle East. And the schedule also includes a visit to the plain of Ur in what was once Mesopotamia, the home of the biblical patriarch Abraham. Seeing Abraham's house will be a great symbol of unity for all religions that have this element in common. And so again, let's go to Babylon and let's talk about a religious, international religious unity. What's as far as Iraq, you know, Babylon is in Iraq. And that this has been kind of a center in the geopolitical sense of some of the events. An attack on an embassy recently. That's where when the United States took out a major Iranian general who was behind most of the IED deaths that and injuries to our soldiers. Revenge is still threatened. But Iraq is sort of a proxy for Iran politically and militarily. And so they're going to be a place and peace to watch in the coming tensions of the Middle East. The next event that I want to call to your attention is invasion from the north. One of the passages that's challenging to read sometimes is Ezekiel 38 and 39. And in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you'll see the this invasion that will come upon Israel. And I think what I will do, I mentioned earlier that I had a hard drive problem last night, and I actually had brought over some slides that I thought might be of some interest. And so let me go ahead and see if I can show those to you quickly, if they're here. Yep. Let's see if you can see this. Okay. It's called the Battle of Gog and Magog. And here's what Charlie Dyer says. There will be an attack will come when Israel is at peace. And that tells me it's in the early part of the tribulation period. When Israel's covenant with the Antichrist is in effect at the beginning of Daniel's 70th week, she'll be at peace. The nations involved in this attack will include the Soviet Union, Turkey, Iran, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Libya. And so if you were to go through the nations listed, the Magog is the Istan region of Central Asia. Have you ever looked at, sometimes people will say that, well, those are the Istan countries. There's all these Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, whatever it might be. These areas, Rosh represents Russia, Turkey, Libya, Iran. So these various regions will all come. Here's a map that kind of shows the nations that are mentioned. And they'll all come and attack Israel. And the amazing thing is, God miraculously defeats them. Israel doesn't rise up and do it. God does it and just destroys all these invading armies. And many have thought, and I'm rather inclined in this direction, that will be part of what's going to help the Antichrist rise to power. Is he'll claim credit for it. Have you ever seen politicians do that? Something will happen every time, like when it's typical, when if the economy is going well, then the politician's going to say he did it. If the economy tanks, well, that was his the other guy. No, that's not what I want to show you. Okay, let me see if I can get this back. So back to this, then the invasion from the north, or the Battle of Gog and Magog. And so one of the things that's interesting to note is here I comment for you that Iran's view of Biden as restrained could lead to hitting Israel harder. Now, this article comes from January 6th. As I said earlier, the whole Abraham Accord, a lot of it has to do with we're worried about Iran, let's make peace with Israel. We may not like Israel, but we like Iran a lot less. Israel's not trying to take over the Middle East, Iran is. And so Iran is rising. And remember, under the Obama administration, we signed on to a peace treaty, a nuclear treaty thing with Iran. President Trump came in and backed away from that. All that to say, and the point is, Iran is developing nuclear weapons, and they say their ambition is to destroy Israel and to destroy the United States, as well as to take over the Middle East, to spread their Shiite religion throughout the Middle East. Well, one of the struggles is that the Institute for National Security Studies made a report that said the threats from Iranian proxies in the north, including Hezbollah and proxies in Syria, are the greatest military threat in 2021. Those are part of the region that's going to be involved in the Gog-Magog war. So all this to say, Iran, those areas, Russia is works with Iran and in Syria. They've been together on that. All of that fits with them being partners in an attack on Israel. And so what they're saying is there's concerns that this, there's always the question when there's a change of administration, how will all this affect? You know, people are wondering, what about the embassy in Jerusalem? Will that stay in Jerusalem? What about the Abraham Accords? Will those continue now that we have a new president? And President-elect Biden has been saying that he wants to renew the deal with Iran, maybe with some modifications. And so apparently what they're concerned is Iran is going to see an opportunity with a less confrontational administration to maybe strengthen their proxies, their underlings, like Hezbollah, which is a terrorist organization in Lebanon and Syria, to trouble Israel. One of the struggles that's in there is Israel has always said they're not allowed, Iran is not going to go nuclear. Israel's not going to allow it. And they in the past have bombed Iraq and Syria to stop nuclear development. This report, another major threat discussed by the report was the Iranian nuclear threat, which was framed as less pressing in 2021, but presenting a much graver long-term potential threat than any other item. After years of pressure from the Trump administration, the INSS writes, the Islamic Republic of Iran views the incoming Biden administration as good news for likely being able to reactivate the 2015 nuclear deal. So that's a possibility. I have another article that I think this went away with my troubles. China urges calm. Russia warns against over-dramatizing as Iran ramps up uranium enrichment. And so China and Russia are trying to say, don't get too upset as we see Iran developing its nuclear capabilities. We'll see. Wars and rumors of wars. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 24, verses 6 to 8. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now that famines, pestilence, earthquakes, wars, beginning of sorrows, that's referring to the early seals. Famine, pestilence, war are specifically described as the second, third, fourth seals. But leading towards that, and again, laying some framework, we can even still look to current news. Kim Jong-un says North Korea is developing tactical nukes, new warheads, and a nuclear-powered submarine. And so Kim Jong-un is the head of North Korea, and again, I think probably looking for a less confrontational administration, is ramping up nuclear weapons development again. The U.S. military presence in Georgia, not the United States, former Soviet Union, would help deter Russia and contain Iran. Some of you might, if I left that up there alone, you're thinking, what, if they had a military base in Atlanta, is that going to stop the Russians? I'm not sure I understand that. There's Georgia, and then there's Georgia. Now, it's just like in Texas. You know, if someone says, I'm going to Athens, you wouldn't think they're going to Greece. They'd be going to the real Athens, which is in East Texas. So the Georgia, that's part of the former Soviet Union. It's in the southern western regions of it. Despite efforts to scale down U.S. commitments in the Middle East and focus on the great power competition with China and Russia, it is clear that Iran's assertiveness, instability in Iraq, the crisis in Syria, questions of Kurdish autonomy, the Sunni-Shia conflict, and the realignments of terrorist groups in the post-Islamic State Levant will force the United States to maintain and even increase its military presence in the Middle East. Now, that's an opinion piece, but just looking at all the, again, the areas that right around where the Gog-Magog places are, Georgia, Syria, Iran, and some of the terrorist things going on there, the potential for conflict is great. Number three there, inside the rapidly increasing U.S.-Iran military tensions. And so there's just, you know, there have been constant growing tensions between us and Iran, threatening, you know, we've been sending in bombers recently into the area just to tell them we're serious. This is a struggle right now when there's a change of administration. That's always a time where some foreign powers say, is this our opportunity to do something? You know, like right now, for example, there's talk of impeaching the president. There was talk of, you know, using the 25th Amendment to just go ahead and kick him out of office. And then there's apparently moves already of impeachment. You can see how destabilized, this is 2 weeks before the inauguration, you can see where a foreign power looks at that. And as a new administration's coming in and getting settled, that's the, you know, the foreign powers will look at those as opportunities to maybe pull something. And so there's a potential. Those are the kind of things, wars and rumors of wars, that will be characteristic of the end times. We're not living in peaceful times. Another characteristic of the end times is the persecution of Christians. And here's a good example. I have, I think, seven categories listed there. That is just; those are just examples that of so much we could talk about. Here's an interesting one that was posted in January of 2020. Persecuted even after death, China bans Christians from holding religious funerals. So, again, any expression of religion is forbidden. And this is one of the times I've found throughout, you know, my ministry, that people who often have very little interest in religious things, when someone dies, they're often looking for a pastor. And just because it just seems like there needs to be something about God, well, they're saying no. We do not want those kinds of religious expressions even at funerals. Number two there, a report of at least 620 Nigerian Christians have been killed by Boko Haram, that's an Islamist group, and Fulani militants in 2020 so far. And that was written in May. We don't see that too much in the media, do we? Over 600 people have been brutally murdered in Nigeria, Christians killed by Muslims. Number three there, China bulldozes illegal gravestones of 20 Swedish missionaries. The Chinese church is grateful for these, was grateful for these 20 missionaries from Sweden who, I wonder if you could have noticed who they were in China. Think of a bunch of Swedes walking down the street in China. They knew who the missionaries were and probably stood out. But they were so faithful in bringing the gospel. The Chinese Christians set up these headstones for them. The Chinese have bulldozed them because, again, that's a, it's sending the wrong message. Number four. This is one of the things that was interesting in this last year. Just to show you the upheaval we are in, morally, politically, spiritually, there has been a rewriting of history in America. We are former heroes are now become considered enemies of the state. Names like even Lincoln are being removed from schools. Statues are being taken away. This is the kind of thing tyrants do. Do you remember the old Ten Commandments movie with Yul Brynner and Charlton Heston? I mean, the only Ten Commandments movie, as far as I'm concerned. There's a scene in there after Moses, you know, the rebellion, that Yul Brynner, Pharaoh, says, wipe out his name from our books. That's not just Hollywood. Notice, because that helps explain, you go through the monuments, we don't find the name of Moses in that way. That was probably intentional. But we can also see, if you go to the monument, the temple for Hatshepsut, the female pharaoh, you will see where, you can actually go and see where they've rubbed out her name. They're trying to deny that that ever happened. And so subsequent regimes came along and tried to wipe out her name. Well, that's going on in America. We're going to get rid of these statues. We're going to get rid of these names. We're going to change the names of streets and schools for political purposes. Well, we're also changing the meaning of name of words. And so, for example, one of the things that was striking, the name bigot has been given a new dictionary definition, and it's totally aimed at you, was the headline that I read. This was in November 9th of 2020. The historic definition for bigot was someone who is intolerant toward those who hold differing opinions. The new definition, this is in the, where are we thinking? This isn't, well, this, I'll tell you, this is the Oxford Dictionary, which is considered one of the English standard dictionaries. The Oxford Dictionary has changed. The new definition leaves little doubt. The inference is being taken further by an intelligentsia that they want you to know what to believe and what to think. Quote, here's the new definition. So the old one is a person who is intolerant toward those holding differing opinions. The new definition, a person who is obstinately or unreasonably attached to a belief, opinion, or faction, especially one who is prejudiced against or antagonistic toward a person or people on the basis of their membership of a particular group. What would they say of a believer who would say, I cannot say Caesar is Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Would they say that he's obstinately or unreasonably attached to a belief? That's now a dictionary, that is now the official definition. If you can have an official definition, the Oxford Dictionary. I suspect many, if not all, of the people in this room, they could put your picture by the word bigot, because they would say you're obstinately and unreasonably attached to a belief. What else would you say of a person who's willing to die? A person who's willing to give up everything he has for that belief? So that's kind of that definition. Some of the other things I have, George Mason University professor finds a Bible, I think in a classroom, and he called the bias hotline to report the offense. He found, I remember being in school where things changed. If you left your backpack there, then they would seize it and maybe try to ignite it if it was a case they thought it was a bomb, but you'd get in a lot of trouble if you left your backpack because it could be a bomb. Well, here's something even more threatening. It could be a Bible. Isn't that amazing? That's in the United States. He finds a Bible. He calls up and says, we've got a problem. I found a Bible. Number six, major LGBT group urges Biden to strip accreditation of Christian schools and colleges. This accreditation often affects your ability to go into the next school, to transfer, to get scholarships, to get funding. And so here is a major group that's saying, you know what, if Christian schools don't toe the line and change their view of morality, then you should remove their accreditation. No differing opinions allowed. A one world coming religion, a one world coming morality, and leading to the persecution of Christians. This is, again, the situation where we're being closed out. Well, I can tell you it's going to be even worse in the end times, but doesn't this show you that they would even suggest this? Well, that's where we're heading. And this struck me as stunning in December of this year, last year. Thousands of pastors go into hiding amid China's rising persecution in the attempts to eradicate Christianity. Tens of thousands of house church pastors and evangelists across China have gone into hiding. Their final newsletter, they said pastors have disconnected from their phones and computers so the government authorities can no longer use those devices to track their movement. They've also reported they destroyed the microchips inside their ID cards, so authorities cannot track their location using those devices either. And so here are pastors saying, we have got to go completely off grid or we cannot be faithful to preaching Christ. Because they recognize there's that one world religion, you're free to have religion as long as it's consistent with our religion. And it's a tool of our religion. Well, you see the tendency here. If you don't say the same thing, then we're going to shut down your banking services. We're not going to process credit card payments. We're not going to let you use the social media and maybe even the internet and email. We're going to shut down the means of communication. The persecution of Christians is growing. We need to be prayerful and supportive of our brethren across the world and recognize the significance. Just a few more. We only have 20 points to cover. No, I think it's like 13. Pestilence. Revelation 6:8. I looked and behold an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. And authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. Here's the one headline. 2020 will be remembered as the year of the COVID-19. While the virus has made many ill and many have died, the biggest thing about this disease is it showed how quickly an illness, a pestilence, can spread as a pandemic. And there's been some question: can you call it a pandemic? This is where I always get a little annoyed when people say no. If you only took just a couple of years of Greek, you wouldn't have a problem with this. Actually, first semester. Pan, the word pan in Greek means all. Demos, like democracy, is rulership of the people. Demic means peoples. What it's saying is all or most of the people groups have been exposed, have present among them this infectious disease. It says nothing about how dangerous or harmful it is, just how it's more an issue of breadth as opposed to depth. So you cannot dispute reasonably that this is a pandemic. I mean, I've talked to people in Nepal. I've talked to people in Latin America, Central America. We see see reports about it in Scandinavia. These are some of the personal connections that I have. We saw it in the news early in places like Australia, Northern Europe, across. It's every people group virtually have this virus. Therefore, it is a pandemic. It didn't turn out as deadly or dangerous as some feared. This is called, it's in the SARS category of viruses. And the last time we had a SARS, the first SARS virus, this is called SARS-2, the death rate was 9.6%. And so many people were concerned we're heading in the same direction. This death rate is closer to 2%. It's like 1.8%. The MERS, remember the MERS, Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome virus? That was 34% fatal. One out of three who got it died. And so there are, but those were not really pandemics. An epidemic is upon a people, so it's spread throughout a people group. Pandemic, all peoples. And so, but the key, what I want to draw from this is, from 2020, we have seen how quickly and broadly a disease can spread. Thanks to international travel. Thanks to the kind of capabilities we have. You think about Jesus. He spent, this is God in the flesh, the most famous name of history, the most influential man of history. He never left Israel. I've told you oftentimes when I lived there, I crossed the country twice in an afternoon. Rented a car in Jerusalem, went down far to the coast, and went back up to Galilee in an afternoon. Sometimes I couldn't get to Dallas in that time frame. So in other words, it's a small country. Jesus never left that. And so international travel wasn't as readily available for spreading disease. And so all that to say, when it says pestilence will be there, we've seen how quickly and broad spread a disease can spread. Health experts are saying human-to-human spread of a new virus is worrying. We're concerned about this, the variants of the COVID and whether or not it will respond to the vaccine. Current reports are saying the current vaccine does work for that. Here's an interesting article, 10 plagues that are hitting our planet simultaneously. How's that for encouraging? Number one, an army of locusts. Two, extremely bizarre weather patterns. Three, unprecedented flooding. Four, major earthquakes. Five, unusual volcanic eruptions. Six, the coronavirus. Seven, the Africa swine fever. Eight, the H1N1 swine flu. Nine, the H1N1 bird flu. And 10, the H5N8 bird flu. And you thought we were just worried about one little virus. All that to say, pestilences can and do spread quickly today. Remember when Ebola a few years back started in a small little area of Africa? Boom, we've got it in Dallas. It didn't become pandemic. It didn't even become epidemic, except for maybe the little region here or there. But it was highly contagious. And if you got something like that, that spread as effectively as, say, the COVID has, we could be devastated. Here's another encouraging thought. Certain kinds of bacteria in California waterways are increasing with the homeless crisis. The reality of the lack of sanitation and so much homelessness is leading to fears and actual arrivings of third world diseases cropping up in some of these encampments. And I think I will leave that at that. In the end times, immorality will rise. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Fortunately, we have no evidence of that. I think for some of us who have been around just a little bit longer, I think we're stunned at how quickly the moral climate has changed. Anyway, 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. The Greek word is they will selfize. It's talking about the self. No. But what's the famous word now? Selfies. They'll be lovers of selves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. That was a problem then. What he's pointing is it's going to keep getting worse. And if you look through that list, as grievous as it is even to read it, would we not say that that is on the rise in our culture today? Just some of the examples about, say, love growing cold. Germany has passed a new law removing any restriction to suicide. Now, usually there were different ways of age or reasoning. That's changed. Dutch doctors are allowed to euthanize without warning. Euthanize, not suicide. Euthanize without warning. Number three, California insurance commissioner says, trying to be careful here, transgender chest surgery must be covered by insurance for minor girls. What have we come to? These that seek transgender treatments, 80% come to regret their decision. And now we're pushing to more and more let minors, children, make these decisions. Children can't figure out which color socks to wear. You know, of course, some of us in front of you have struggles with making, it's so tragic. Number four, over 42.6 million abortions were conducted in 2020 across the world, surpassing the world's leading cause of death. Number five, Joe Biden celebrates abortion and calls killing babies and abortions a constitutional right. And so he is going to be a major advocate for it. Number six, not up there. Even mainstream dictionaries have bowed to transgender insanity. This is National Geographic. Let's see if I can read this. The team cannot know they found some bones that are thousands of years old, all right? And more often, haven't you heard when they find someone, they say this was a male or a female? And nowadays you have to say, how do they know that? Well, they found these bones. And to confirm, they analyzed a protein that forms tooth enamel and is linked to sex. Importantly, the team cannot know the individual's gender identity, but rather only biological sex. So they cannot say whether it was a male or a man or a woman, because they can't interview the 9,000-year-old bones and ask its preference. I mean, this is National Geographic. You know, I used to think, you remember when they used to say Christians don't follow the science? Really? Our culture cannot understand science. Some basics, like that there are boys and there are girls. National Geographic won't take a stand on that issue. Well, knows you, I mean, on the issue, they say you can't identify someone unless they tell you what they are. And, of course, the Oxford English Dictionary, again, has updated its entry for woman, so it's defined as a person's wife, girlfriend, or lover, as opposed to only a man's, following a gender review. So Oxford Dictionary is doing gender reviews now of the dictionary to make sure they're politically correct. If you can write the dictionary, you win the argument. And if you can write the history, You write the future. Further on, just I think there's two more. Number 12, the family is going to suffer. 2 Timothy 3, you've talked about that. Realize in the end days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, disobedient to parents, etc. 47% of mainline pastors now support same-sex marriage. 47% of mainline pastors. Those would be the liberal denominations. That would not apply here. Number two, Joe Biden makes sweeping promises to the LGBTQ activists. This was in November. He was making strong promises to them. He would appoint an array of LGBTQ people to federal government positions. He said, I look forward to being allowed to re-enroll. Biden pledges to take a unilaterally scrapping Trump's transgender military ban would be among the most notable. Government appointments, reverse Trump administration policies carving out religious exemptions, reinstate Obama administration guidance directing public schools to allow transgender students to access bathrooms, locker rooms, and sport teams, allocate federal resources to help curtail violence against transgender people, support legislative efforts to ban so-called conversion therapy for minors, legally making illegal to counsel someone to follow the scriptures and science regarding their identity, making it illegal. That's what our president-elect has promised to do. Bolster federal efforts to collect comprehensive data, ensure that these LGBTQ rights are a priority for U.S. foreign policy, and prepare to use pressure tactics, including sanctions against foreign governments violating those rights. No. Number three, public schools will be forced to allow biological males on female sports teams, according to his promises. Though Biden has been slow to talk about the transgender athlete issue specifically, his campaign didn't return multiple emails seeking comment. He previously pledged to pass the Equality Act within his first 100 days of taking office. This bill would require public schools to allow biological males who identify as transgender girls to compete in girls' sports. You've heard the story. And some of these, some girl athletes who were on track for winning athletic scholarships, but you have to at least place. And when boys say, I'm a girl, and they run in the races, the boys win, because boys are always better. No, it's just a, sorry, it's a biological reality. You know, the structures of are there to their advantage. And science is already showing that those even with medications, those advantages last at least a year. And so some girls have been raising a stink and taking flack for it, because they're tired. Where here they were the award winners and the record holders. That's all going away because boys are saying they're girls and winning all these events. And that comes with the promises. As Biden said, there is no room for compromise on these issues. He called it the civil rights issue of our time. And he is our president-elect. That tells you something about where we're going, but it also tells you where we are, that this is who we elected. Lawlessness will increase. Have you paid attention to the news? Is it Oregon? Some of these places, the riots have continued for 6 months and more. Total anarchy. And so the Department of Justice identified New York City, Portland, and Seattle as jurisdictions permitting violence and destruction of private notes. They're losing certain federal benefits because they have totally abdicated to violent anarchists. And then what happened in the Capitol building, we watched that, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The Capitol building invaded, violently, if I may say, use the word desecrated. We saw videos of some of these protesters who came in and they're flipping through and taking pictures of documents on congressional tables. It was just stunning to see. Lawlessness will increase. This last year has really shown that in our country. Finally, anti-Semitism. And you notice I don't have the numbers there. This is part of what the hard drive. I started wondering if there was somebody was tinkering with my computer from afar. Just some of the ones. The new coronavirus pandemic is fueling anti-Semitism around the world, and the U.S. is no exception. So using the virus as an excuse for blaming the Jews, harassing the Jews, criticizing the Jews. Also, there have been an uptick in anti-Semitic incidents related. I won't go into all the details. I could show you pictures of events that have happened. The Simon Wiesenthal Center notes anti-Semitic incidents across the world and in universities, et cetera, have vastly increased. They were mentioning different universities in America where, because a student was Jewish, they were excluded from holding office in student government and this sort of thing. In the United States of America, because they were Jewish or stated support for the nation of Israel, they were not allowed to hold position and came under criticism. Mainstream, and here's a statement I'll just leave at this, mainstream anti-Semitism is approaching levels not seen before the Holocaust. It's getting very difficult, especially in places like Europe and France in particular. But it's becoming more and more accepted and mainstream to be anti-Semitic. Now, why is that important? In Revelation 13 or Revelation 12, when Satan is cast out of heaven, his first and primary target is Israel. He hates the Jews. If he can destroy Israel, then God can't keep his promise to the nation. He wants to destroy them. God has chosen them as his people, and since Satan hates God, he hates the Jews. And the rise of anti-Semitism shows the influence of Satan is growing. Quickly then, application, some quick thoughts. What does that mean? As I tell us in 1 John, John says that he who has this hope, it's a purifying hope. If we know the Lord is coming soon, it changes the way we live. It calls us to prayer. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come. Remember, John, the Apostle John says, even so, come Lord Jesus. It should cause us to proclaim the gospel. Jesus is coming. We need to help people be ready to meet him. Better to meet him in the air than when he comes as king. A couple other things I put in here that strike me is don't despair and do discern. When I've mentioned some of these things, I have, I'm hoping you will get a sense of discernment, that you will, when you recognize, when these talk about global governance and some of these other things, you'll recognize this could be a concern. When you see dictionaries being changed, when you see anti-Semitism, that you'll be discerning of these things and say, this isn't of the Lord. Discern. Don't despair. The Lord's coming. That's good news. I have to show you again this video. I closed the overview with it. You ready to show this back there?
Thank you.
as you've seen, the fullness of some of the things we discussed in the news, we're getting closer to the return of the Lord. Are you ready? Our readiness comes when we know Jesus Christ as Savior, when we recognize and confess and turn from our sin and seek His forgiveness and trust in Him as Savior. And when the Lord comes, then we will be those who are taken and will meet the Lord in the air. But not everyone will be taken because not everyone knows the Lord. Are you ready to meet Christ? Are you ready for His return? Are you longing for it? I'll have a quick prayer, we'll have another song, and then we'll close out in prayer. Father, how I pray that You would comfort our hearts, help us see Your sovereign hand. Lord, give us an eager awareness and a longing for the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us with glad expectation of the blessed hope. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.